I sprint down the tunnel, shut the door behind me, rush up the steps. I get halfway up the stairs, take a moment to weave together a shield across the steps. It won't last long and it won't stop much, but it'll buy me enough time to get to the car and get the fuck out of here. Screw the camera seeing me. I'm heading out the front door. I back the rest of the way up the stairs, make sure it isn't right behind me. I clear the trapdoor, feeling like maybe I'll get out of this mess.
We should have bricked over the entrance while you were in there.
This day just won't fucking quit, will it?
I glance over my shoulder at Griffin and half a dozen of his guys, nasty-looking machine guns pointed at my back. Griffin's face is pretty banged up, and one of his fingers is in a splint.
Hey, you got new guys? You trade them in? The old ones were looking a little rough.
I keep walking backward, a little more slowly. I don't want them to shoot me, but I don't want to be near that trapdoor either.
Who else is down there?
Just me.
Bullshit. Heard you talking to someone down there.
Okay, maybe not just me.
Sounds like Boudreaux's parting gift got through the tunnel door. Griffin points to one of his men.
Get him out of the way and cover him. The rest of you cover the trapdoor. Last chance. Tell us who your friend is, or my men unload as soon as he pops his head out of that hole.
Would you believe me if I told you it was a really nasty fire elemental?
Griffin nods at the man covering me, who gives me a glancing blow across the forehead with the butt of his gun. More surprise than pain, it still knocks me on my ass. A deep shudder rolls through the floor, then another. I can feel the concrete beneath my hands grow warm. Panic threatens to consume me, but I force it down. I inch back a little. Worry creases the men's faces. I get ready to move. A blast of heat and smoke pours out of the trapdoor, and a glow like hell's own furnace. My guard turns away to see what's going on, and I make my move. I bowl into him, fouling his aim. He stitches a line of gunfire into the ceiling. This is a stupid move, rushing headlong into a mob of armed men, but the thing behind me is worse. A blast of furnace heat bursts from the trapdoor. A wave of flame shoots out, spreading into a form of two thick forelegs, a long, sinuous body, and a head that's impossibly huge. It looks like a giant pissed-off weasel made of fire. More importantly, everyone's shooting at it and not me, which is a plus any way you look at it. Elementals are a pain in the ass. Each one is brought into the world with a single purpose, a simple command. Drown this guy, bury that one, fly me to the next county over, burn a house down with the people still inside. They're not smart, but what they lack in brains, they more than make up for in tenacity. They'll keep going until they accomplish their task, get destroyed, or are ordered to stop by their summoner. And Boudreaux's not around to stop it, and I don't know how to destroy it. That leaves option three, me dying, which I'm really not all that keen on. I duck between a row of crates, zag toward a door at the far side of the warehouse. I make a run for another set of crates. Bullets follow me, punching holes through wood, ricocheting off metal. I hazard a glance at the fight. It's one hell of a fray. Two of Griffin's men are charred husks on the floor. Everyone else is scattered in a loose circle around the elemental, unloading bullets into it that vaporize before they reach it. The elemental's tail arches and flows, leaving scorch marks on the cracking cement floor. It paws the ground like a bull, whips its head out at one of the gunmen who doesn't get out of the way in time. It snatches him in flaming jaws. He bursts into flame and his bones explode. The elemental rears up to take a leap. The cement beneath its feet cracked and bubbling. And then Griffin waves a hand, and with a blast of magic throws a shipping container at it. The heavy metal box kicks up sparks as it grinds across the cement like a race car and slams into the elemental, and keeps going until it crashes into the wall. That was easier than I expected, which means I have a problem. I duck behind another shipping container as Griffin and the last few of his cadre open up on me. I've made one hell of a tactical error. They're gonna flank me. I can't cover both sides of the container. The door on the far side of the warehouse cracks open. Vivian pops her head in, sees me, waves at me to run. I wish I did cardio on a regular basis. I risk a quick look around the edge of the container. Expect bullets for my trouble, but the shooters are a little preoccupied. The shipping container that's just flattened the elemental is glowing white hot. The metal is bubbling and dripping into pools of molten steel. Flame claws spread around the edge. They don't push it out of the way so much as melt it. What's left of the container shreds, bringing superheated chunks of shrapnel that gouge pits in the cement floor. I duck back in time to avoid being sliced and cauterized. When the rain of shrapnel subsides, I pop out from my cover to get a look. Useless gunfire coming from cover, shelves of crates bursting into flame, the elemental rears on its hind legs and sees me. I duck back, but it's too late. Elemental launches itself into the air, leaps across stacked shelves and containers, leaving melting metal in its footsteps. It lands in the wide aisle spanning the warehouse. It spins its body to face me, tail snapping like a whip through a stack of crates that light up like kerosene-soaked flares. Flames crack off the end of its tail, showering more shelves, more crates. The building's going to be a raging inferno in minutes. If this thing doesn't kill me, the smoke and the heat probably will. I consider popping over to the other side. Might work, but I'll have a hell of a time getting through the doors. And if I understand them correctly, elementals can go anywhere. If it figures out what I've done, I won't be in any better shape. But it might give me a couple of minutes I won't have here. 30 feet away, and I can feel my skin blistering from the heat. The flames behind me are cooler than the elemental's inferno. I shield my face with my arm, squint through tearing eyes. I'm constructing a spell as fast as I can, but I don't think it'll be in time. It rolls back on its haunches, ready to spring. A heavy shelf of burning crates and stacked pipe shutters as the Eldorado, crazed Vivian at the wheel, fishtails into it. The elemental sees it in enough time to jump out of the way, but it seems taking it down wasn't the point. Ellis pops open the passenger side door.
Get in!
I don't have to be told twice. Vivian floors it before I'm all the way in, and Ellis has to pull me the rest of the way inside. Behind us, I can see the elemental clambering over toppled shelves, its feet melting through the steel beams, igniting the crates. Vivian drives the caddy into the hole she made in the sliding door of the loading ramp. Bullets punch the car as we pass through.
The fuck is that thing?
Fire elemental. It after you?
Yeah. Boudreaux was there. Got away from him, but he summoned that thing at the last minute.
And the guys with guns?
Griffin showed too. Guess it's his warehouse.
Shit. Shit, shit, shit. A goddamn fire elemental?
Not a party without one.
Yeah, a real barn burner.
Behind us, the warehouse has turned into a five-alarm inferno. The building burns faster than it has any right to. Support beams start to come down, bringing chunks of the ceiling down with them. As if to make that point, I can see the flames leaping from the building coalesce into the elemental behind us. Vivian plows back the way we came, passing rows of shipping containers. A thought occurs to me.
We can't leave.
What? Why the hell not?
Because if that thing gets onto the open road, or God forbid the freeway, it's not just us in danger. Imagine how many other people are gonna die. Imagine what the news will do with shots of that thing.
Fuck. What about the dock workers?
They'll probably see it, but we might be able to run it ragged through these rows of containers.
And then what? It's not gonna just run out of gas.
I'm still working on that one. Just keep the car moving.
She spins the car around a corner, takes another path. We lose the elemental for a moment, but it reappears behind us. It runs and flows, something like a snake and something like a cougar.
The pocket watch. Do you still have it?
I pull it out and show it to her.
How close do you have to be to use it?
Closer than this.
Get ready, then.
She taps the brakes. The distance closes more than I'm comfortable with. I focus on the elemental's reflection in the rear view, spin the watch's dial. Nothing happens.
Anytime now!
Fuck you! It's not working!
Yeah, I got that!
That's because you used too much already.
The fuck are you talking about?
You have any idea how much magic was being tossed around in there?
Shit, of course.
Okay, I'm still lost.
Used up all the juice.
Between me, Boudreaux, Griffin, and that monster on our ass, we've drained the local pool.
I hang on as Vivian yanks the steering wheel hard to the right, peels tight around a corner.
Then what the hell do we do?
Try harder.
Real useful, thanks.
I fix the elemental's reflection in the mirror again. Force feed my own reserves into the watch. Spin the dial again. I can feel the power trickle up through me and drain into the watch. The fires dim, flicker. I keep ratcheting the dial and the elemental stumbles, trips, scatters gouts of flame, hits the ground and skids to a roll, the fire draining away to a flicker. The elemental goes out. Vivian hits the brakes. The caddy fishtails to a stop.
I think I just pissed myself.
What's left of the elemental is a burnt-out husk, blackened and smoking like charred wood. Without the fires, it looks like a bald dog. I slump in my seat, spent. I could pass out right here. Vivian doesn't give me a chance. She stomps in the gas again.
Whoa. What's going on?
It's not dead!
The husk breaks, flickers of fire sputtering through the cracks. The flames flow out, start to reform. Vivian puts as much distance between it and us as she can. Why didn't that work? Think, goddammit. Then, it hits me in a flash.
We need to cut off its source.
What do you mean?
The pool isn't used up. That thing's sucking it all up. That's what's causing this shit brownout, I guess. It's not running on its own fuel supply. The pool's just fine.
Can't we just get it wet or something?
I know you're not stupid.
No, but I am hopeful. If that won't work, what do we do?
As long as it can feed off the magic in the area, it won't stop. We either block its access by doing something bigger, or we take it someplace it can't get to the source.
You can't be serious. Boudreaux's over there.
That thing's gonna follow us anywhere we go. Anywhere.
What are you two talking about?
I pop open my junk drawer of a glove compartment. Receipts, pens, a rat skeleton in a Ziploc bag, a talisman of Chinese coins and crow feathers, packets of powders I can't even identify. Where the hell is it?
I can jump us over to the dead side. It's using so much juice it'll drain itself dry in a minute.
Aren't we kind of out of juice ourselves?
I think I got that covered. Give me a second.
Have you moved a whole car before? You can't just move us. We still have momentum.
First time for everything.
That's a moot point. There isn't enough power to light a fart around here.
I find the glowing vial Alex gave me back at the club.
There is now.
I pop the cork. And upend the contents down my throat.
Wait! That's not how you use it!
Wish I'd known that sooner. My brain is melting. The rows of shipping containers shoot out in front of me into a multicolored blur. The power pours into me like molten metal. My mind feels like a balloon animal, expanding, twisting, threatening to pop. I wonder distantly if this is what Ellis felt when he burned himself out. I wonder if I'm about to do the same. I focus on the dead, the cold darkness of the other side, the emptiness and dread. I grab reality by the balls and give him a yank. The car shudders, snapping me back to reality. The sky flickers. Bright blue sky to dank, empty gray and back again. The steering wheel bucks in Vivian's hands. The world tears. And we're on the other side.
Fuck me!
Vivian stares up at the shadowy forms of shipping containers speeding by. The air feels empty and oppressively heavy at the same time. Vivian puts her hand on my shoulder.
Are you okay?
I don't know. Dizzy. You?
Yeah, I think. Never been here.
Not exactly the kind of place you bring a date.
It's incredible.
Not the word I'd use.
Faces appear out of the gloom ahead of us, fade in alongside.
They're all dead?
And hungry.
Doing all right back there?
The fuck do you think?
Can they get inside the car?
No, I've got it warded.
There's a flash behind us. Flames burst in behind us like a rip in a blast furnace. Vivian hits the gas, increasing the distance. He's on my turf now. Let's see how long he lasts over here. It's hard to tell at first, but the further we go, the more obvious it becomes. It's fading fast. So am I. I can feel my energy being sucked out of me. We don't have much time left. The dead are coming in faster, drawn in by our scent or whatever it is they use to find us.
Let it get closer.
Vivian eases up on the gas. The elemental gains ground fast. She lets it get close. Let the ghosts gather thick in front of us.
Punch it!
It's almost dead on top of us. Vivian slams her foot hard on the pedal, plowing the car through the dead. They bounce off the wards like bowling pins. I've only known the dead to go after the living, but maybe they'll be attracted to the elemental as well. Turns out that's a big yes. They latch onto it like lions taking down a gazelle. It falters, shakes to throw them off, but falls to the ground and collapses into nothing.
Can we please get out of here now? I'm not doing too well over here.
I'm about to say yes, but now I'm not so sure.
I'm not hearing anything positive.
It took a lot to haul the car over. I think I can get all of us, but I don't know if I have enough to take the car back.
The car is kind of secondary, don't you think?
It's my car.
It's our lives!
Fine, stop the car. Everybody out.
I'm not going out there.
Then I guess you're not going back.
That shuts Ellis up, and he pushes the door open. That simple action takes it out of him, and I have to help haul him out. I throw Ellis over my shoulder in a fireman's carry. He's really going fast. Vivian's not far behind him. Me? I've got a little while yet, but I wouldn't last much longer than they will. Vivian wraps herself around us. The dead have finished with the elemental, and they've turned their attention on us. I focus on sunlight, warm air, blue skies. Tap my heels together 3 times because, you know, every little bit helps, and I reach back for the other side. There's a wrenching feeling that thins out to the smell of smoke and diesel, the light of the midday sun. I collapse, and darkness falls around me. I hate hospital waiting rooms. The stink of antiseptic and disease, fluorescent lights that leech all the vitamin D out of your body. I'm reading a 5-year-old copy of Highlights magazine, wondering who writes this crap. No wonder kids are screwed up today. I've been here for 4 hours. Back at the docks with the adrenaline pumping through me, I didn't notice the bruises and scrapes and second-degree burns. But now I feel like a grilled steak. My left hand is wrapped in a bandage and antiseptic gel. The cuts on my face are big enough to need butterfly bandages. My left eye is swollen. No broken bones, thank God. Well, no new ones.
Hey.
Vivian appears at the doorway. She's wearing scrubs, looks a mess. She threw together some bullshit story about us being at the docks to check on hospital equipment coming in on a boat when the warehouse went up. Told the cop she found Ellis passed out behind a truck. They bought it with a little help. I lost track of her once we got to Harbor UCLA. She was holding an IV bag over Ellis, barking orders at interns. She had disappeared down the hall while a nurse ushered me behind a curtain.
How you doing?
Okay. Been better.
Ellis?
She shakes her head and falls heavily into the seat opposite me.
Where do I start? Malnourished, dehydrated, had a heart attack.
Fuck. When did that happen?
After we got him here. He's old and a train wreck. Diabetic, kidney problems, a staph infection, other things.
Is he gonna be all right?
I don't know. He's still unconscious. I pulled some strings, got him a room. How are you doing?
I show her my hand, point at my swollen eye, bandaged face.
Pretty much what you see. Hurts, but I've had worse.
You have, haven't you?
Kinda comes with the territory.
What happened back there?
Excellent question. Boudreaux showing up is one thing. I always knew there was a possibility. But Griffin? Beverly Hills to San Pedro? On the 405? He showed up awful fucking fast. If we tripped an alarm, he shouldn't have been able to respond that fast unless he was close by. And what are the odds that he would just happen to be down near the docks with a cadre of thugs? Did you tell Alex where we were going?
Yeah, I don't think I like what you're thinking.
How would Griffin know we were down there if someone hadn't told him?
I thought we'd settled this.
Maybe you did. I didn't. Somebody told Griffin I was in town. Somebody told him I was at the warehouse. If not him, who?
Vivian's in my face faster than I can react.
Oh!
And gives me a slap. I rub my jaw. Jesus, she's got a hard hand.
You son of a bitch! You have no fucking idea who that man is or what he's done. How dare you judge him?
How the fuck am I supposed to know? I haven't been here.
Exactly. You just up and bailed the second things got rough. You left us. You left me.
You know why I left.
Yeah, because you're a fucking coward.
That stings worse than the slap, and it must be showing on my face.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I hit a nerve? What, you can do dead people, but God forbid you deal with live ones?
I left because it was safer for everyone.
No, you left because it was safer for you.
Lucy
tried to kill herself. Did Alex tell you that?
What? No, he didn't say anything.
About 5 years ago. Took a bunch of pills. Washed them down with a bottle of vodka. Alex found her, and it wasn't a cry for help, either. He wasn't supposed to be there. Went over on a whim.
Why?
Why? Jesus, are you really that stupid? Because her parents died. Because her only brother couldn't handle the stress and up and bolted. Because she was afraid what was going to happen to her if anyone found out who she was. You made a choice. She had hers dumped on her. So don't you dare blame Alex for anything. He took on your responsibilities for you.
Don't tell me he's a saint. We both know what he was like before I left.
You're really going to try to use that against him? The petty thieving? Yeah, I remember. And I remember how much it cost him. He turned things around. He takes care of people. His employees have a health plan, for fuck's sake. What have you done for anybody?
Oh, fuck you. You have no idea the shit I deal with. It's a wonder I'm still alive. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
I know enough. Alex might have flaws, but he's not a killer.
Well, you got me there. You know what? You're right. I shouldn't have left, because then I'd be dead and I wouldn't be having this conversation.
God, you are such an asshole!
Yeah, not like saintly fucking Alex. Too bad you didn't figure that out then, huh? You could have hooked up with him before I left.
What makes you think I didn't?
That stops me. She's staring at me with the defiance I'd forgotten about. I can feel myself deflate, and suddenly, I don't have the stomach for this anymore. She's right. I am a coward. This is all my fault. And I'm tired of fighting. Maybe that's another reason I left. The more I think about it, the more I realize she's right. I am an asshole. What of it? I did what I had to do. Sure as shit not what I wanted to do. She works with the living, I work with the dead. We're on opposite ends of the spectrum. No wonder we fought so much when we were together.
Well, shit.
I go out through the ER entrance. The cold outside makes me realize how stuffy and claustrophobic it is in the hospital. I get a lung full of car exhaust and Southland smoke, but it's cold and familiar. I walk between a couple of ambulances where it's a little darker, close my eyes, let the cold air clear my mind.
Hey, buddy, got a light?
I catch a whiff of smoke, something burnt. I turn to see a soot-smudged face, a shirt with blackened cuffs, and a type of gun I've been seeing a little too much of the last couple of days. I'm ready this time. The dart shoot forward, but I'm able to throw a quick burst of energy myself that shorts them out and stops them in their tracks.
I'm gonna shove that thing so far up your ass, you're gonna sneeze lightning bolts.
Too bad I don't figure out he's just the diversion. Until somebody else pistol whips me from behind, and I go down.
This is getting to be a habit. I hope there's been no permanent damage. Concussions can be nasty.
I got a hard head.
Griffin's blurry. It's too goddamn bright in here and I can't move. When my vision clears, I figure out they've got me in one of the ambulances strapped to a gurney. Two other guys besides Griffin with guns trained in my head. The driver hits a pothole. And my head snaps back. Pain blasts through my skull.
Please be careful, Alonzo. Apologies. He's not a very good driver.
You got that. Hey, if you're gonna kill me, can you just get it over with? I'm getting tired of this shit.
Not yet. I've got some questions.
Dude, I can barely remember my own name.
That elemental in the warehouse. It wasn't yours. It was trying to kill you.
And they said you were stupid.
Who summoned it?
Take a wild guess.
Boudreaux's back then, is he?
More or less. I went there to see if I could dig him up. Got a little more than I expected.
So, Henry's little spell actually worked. I'm impressed. How'd you get rid of him?
Banishing spell. Wasn't easy.
So, he's not gone permanently?
Fuck no. He'll be back.
A thought occurs to me, and I get lost in being impressed with myself for a second. I really wasn't sure that was ever going to happen again.
He's come after you, hasn't he?
I think so. Something has. I've been having random curses thrown my way. Weak. Annoyances, really. But they've been getting stronger.
I want to watch out for the next one.
No. I think you're going to need to watch out for the next one. He knows you're here now. I can't imagine he's going to do much else for a while but figure out how to kill you. He's a little obsessive that way.
You don't kill me, you let him kill me. Nice plan.
As long as you're alive, his attention's going to be focused on you. You're the best distraction I could hope for.
Griffin taps on the wall behind him.
Alonzo, pull over when it's convenient. Of course, you could always kill him instead.
On my to-do list.
Thought as much.
The ambulance slows, pulls over to the curb. One of Griffin's men undoes the straps. The other keeps his gun on me.
Out you go.
Where the hell am I?
I have no idea. I'm sure you'll find your way back to that nice little hotel on Lancashire you're staying at just fine.
One of his men hauls me up and throws me out the back of the ambulance. I hit the curb and roll.
Good night, Carter. And stay alive a little bit longer, if you don't mind.
I call a cab at some 24-hour convenience store with a payphone. Somewhere in today's mess, I've lost the cell phone Alex gave me. This is why I can't have nice things. I'd bought a bottle of cheap tequila and a bag of frozen peas. I've got a lump on the back of my skull the size and consistency of a hard-boiled egg. I sit on the curb and wait for my ride with the peas shoved against my scalp. Cold is helping a little. My thoughts are clearing up. There's something about what Griffin said that's not fitting right. Now that Boudreaux's in town, I'm going to be his favorite target. That doesn't make sense, but I can't place why. My thoughts are still a mess. My left hand is throbbing under the bandages, and every cut, scrape, and bruise is screaming like third graders at a birthday party. I'm gonna have to get a new room, somewhere Alex doesn't know about. To be safe, I don't think I should tell Vivian or Tabitha about it either. Just pack up my stuff and go. Which should take all of 5 minutes. I've got one bag in the room with a change of clothes in it and a toothbrush. Everything else was in the El Dorado. That's another problem. How the hell am I going to get the car back? I'm not sure I could even find it. I think about what Vivian said back at the hospital and wonder if maybe I was right. I should have stayed. I'd be dead now, sure, but what good am I now? What the fuck kind of wasted life have I led anyway? My cab pulls up. A guy sticks his head out the window.
You call the cab?
I don't say anything. Just slide into the back seat. Cabby's license says his name's Sam something I can't pronounce. Guy needs some more vowels.
Where to?
I start to tell him to take me back to my hotel, but I catch something out of the corner of my eye. I'm so out of it, I'm not paying near enough attention. There's something in the car with me, and he's not alive.
Where to?
Studio City. I'll tell you when we're closer.
You got cash? I'm not taking you that far, you don't got cash.
I slip him a 50, not paying much attention. He looks at it, glares at me in the rearview mirror. And sniffs the bill. Who the hell smells money? The ghost was young when he died, maybe 20 years old. Thin to the point of emaciated. Leather jacket with a couple too many holes. Tight jeans, close-cropped hair. You see guys like him up around Gower at 2 in the morning selling their asses for cash, drugs, a place to sleep. He looked pretty normal if it weren't for the long, ragged gash that starts from under his right jaw and zips down to his left hip. Deep, too. Intestines are poking out. His hands are covered in blood, presumably his own, and it's spattered up into his face.
What's your name?
Sam! It's on the license.
Not talking to you.
I can see him roll his eyes in the rear view.
That's what I get for picking up crazies.
The boy looks at me, surprised.
You can see me?
Uh-huh.
I don't remember.
It'll come to you. Take your time.
The back seat is pretty clean. New upholstery. The rest of the cab looks like shit, though.
Nice cab.
You talking to me now?
I am, this time. You get the back reupholstered recently?
Yeah. A few months ago. No, a year. 2 years.
I go with his first answer. Too nice for even a year with all the fares this guy must see on a daily basis. Probably ripped out the seats, reported them stolen.
Nice. Private cab, right? Nobody else drives it.
Yeah? Why?
Just wondering. Take pretty good care of your stuff.
Thanks. I guess.
He's not sure what the hell I'm babbling about, and I'm okay with that. He will soon enough. I turn back to the boy. He's got his face screwed up trying to remember his name. When he was killed, he could probably tell me his social security number, address, and shoe size.
Brett.
Nice to meet you.
Eh?
How long's it been?
I'm not sure. Not long, I think. He did this when I got into his cab. Picked me up, I blew him, and the fucker didn't pay.
He puts a hand to the gash, slicing down his body.
Killed me instead.
He's got a lost look in his eyes. They were blue, I think. Hard to tell now that he's faded so much and I can see the car door through him. Just another haunt. Before that, just another runaway, addict, hustler for whoever could pay him. Now he never leaves this cab, locked away from anyone who can see him. Sat on day in and day out, and has to endure this greasy fuck every day of the week. I check my wallet. I've got a handful of 20s. I rub them quickly between my thumb and forefinger, and now they're hundreds. At least until dawn. I hand the cabbie a couple of fake hundreds.
Change my mind. Malibu. Head up PCH and then up Canaan. I'll give you better directions when we get there.
His eyes light up as he takes the bills.
Malibu. I can do Malibu.
That's step one. I concentrate, pull together my will, pull a little energy from the city's pool, mix it with a little of my own. Press my finger hard into the car seat. The cabbie's cell phone and embedded GPS telling the dispatchers where the car is spark and die.
Ah, Shit!
Problem?
No. No problem.
Don't worry, buddy. There will be. Traffic's light up the coast. We make good time. I had him head up Canaan, cut over to Mulholland, deeper into the hills that they call the Santa Monica Mountains. These people need to see the Rockies. I spend the drive wondering how I'm going to kill him, because that's what this fucker deserves. On the drive up, I start to see tattered wisps of other ghosts in the back. A woman, a couple other boys, younger than Brett. So far gone, I didn't notice them until we were up past Topanga. The cabbie starts looking at me funny as we head deeper into the middle of nowhere. Really gets nervous when he starts hitting potholes.
You live out here? Nobody lives out here.
Sure I do.
I hand him another 500 bucks and he shuts up and keeps going. I look out the window at the stars. Still a lot of light pollution, but not enough that I can't make out constellations and a thin arm of the Milky Way. My eyes light on Orion. The Hunter. I like that one. That works for me.
Stop here.
What? There's nothing here.
Sure there is. Cabin right over there. Can't see it in the dark, though.
He pulls over to the shoulder, dust kicking up in his headlights.
Get out. Get out of my cab.
I draw the Browning and point it at him.
You first.
Fuck you!
He reaches for the glove box. I give Brett a wink, snap my fingers, and the lock on the glove box fuses. He tugs, panicking. Finally, he gives up and gets out. I follow him, leave the back door open. To his credit, he doesn't run, doesn't cry, scream, or beg. Probably thinks this is him taking it like a man. Probably thinks this is just another robbery. I don't do it this way very often. It's dangerous without a circle, and I don't have the trappings that help me focus. But I don't really need them. The magic works because you want it to work. And right now, I really want it to work.
Face the car.
He turns toward the open backseat door. I get behind him. Probably thinks I'm going to shoot him in the head. Man, he should be so lucky. I flip out the straight razor. With one quick practiced move, I slice a gash into his arm. He clutches at his arm, spins around to look at me. His eyes are wide with terror.
If you're gonna kill me, just kill me! Stop playing bullshit games!
Don't worry. I'm not gonna kill you.
The thing about using another person's blood to call the dead is that I can use it to bring him into the spell with me. Sam gets a rare ringside seat to my world. The ghosts swarm in. Not many this far out in the boonies, but enough. Sam stares in horror at the assembling dead. They're all paying attention to him, to his bleeding arm, leaving me alone, licking their lips, vibrating with want. I kick him forward into the back seat of the car. He lands on his knees partway inside the car, gets a good look at Brett, and recognizes who it is. I think back to the years I spent preferring the company of the dead over the living, of staying on the road and always moving. Vivian's wrong. My life isn't wasted. Let her handle the living, heal their wounds, mend their broken bones. But when they're dead, there's no one to speak for them, no one to collect on the debt their killers owe. And that's where I come in. The dead have already paid for their sins. The living, not so much. When I cut myself and use the silver cup, it's just to act as a focus. Makes it clear to the dead that it's the blood that's okay to eat. And if you're sacrificing something, it doesn't matter how it feels about it. It's not like Odysseus asked the ram for permission.
He's all yours.
After tossing Sam's desiccated body down a ravine, I drive the cab down into the valley, snag the plates, and wipe the seats and steering wheel down. Dump it in a back parking lot. Stealing another car is stupid easy, but my options are a Corolla with missing hubcaps and a Hyundai with a cracked windshield. Though I can at least see the road in the Corolla, the clutch grinds when I switch gears. Nobody takes care of anything anymore. I want my fucking caddy back. I park the Corolla a couple of blocks away and stagger to the hotel, dropping the cab's plates into a dumpster. I want to take some aspirin, drink my tequila, and go to bed. Waking up tomorrow is optional.
About time.
You know, if I'd have been more on the ball, I'd have shot you.
Good thing for me that you weren't then, huh?
Alex puts the book he's been reading down and stands from the chair near the window.
Jesus, you took a pounding today. Vivian let you leave the hospital like that?
Not really, no.
I sit heavily on the bed, pull the bottle of tequila out of its paper bag, pop the top.
What are you doing here?
Well, I had to come over to kick your ass, seeing as you almost got my girlfriend killed today. But seeing as somebody beat me to it, I figure I'd give it a pass.
How fucking magnanimous of you. Last time I checked, I wasn't twisting her arm to come with me.
You could have asked me, you know. I've got people who are a little better equipped to deal.
I don't think having a bouncer on your side today would have been all that useful. Unless he's a particular strain that's fireproof.
Okay, but that's not why you didn't call me, is it?
You talked to Vivian tonight?
Yeah.
Well, then you already know the answer to that question.
Alex sits next to me on the bed, takes the bottle of tequila.
You're an asshole. You know that, right?
So I've heard.
You honestly think that I'd put Vivian in harm's way because of you? I'm not sure if you're a narcissist or just fucking stupid.
Can I be both?
Sure, why not? You have no idea how much you fuck things up by leaving, do you?
I'm getting an idea.
The fuck happened? I don't mean with your parents or the shit with Boudreaux. I'm talking about you. The fuck happened to you?
I left because...
I know why you left. I want to know why you stayed away.
Because it was easier than coming back. Boudreaux was the first person I killed. You know how many people I've killed since then?
No.
Me neither. I've lost count. Most of them weren't human. Some of them were just this side of dead already.
I take the bottle from him. I try not to wince, but this stuff is like drinking paint thinner.
Vivian called me a coward tonight. She's right. I stayed away because I was afraid of what I'd come back to. I was afraid of talking to Lucy. Telling her the things I've done.
The things you've done, or the things you've done to her?
That too.
We all know this shit's dangerous. At least those of us who are paying attention. The monster under the bed's real. She knew that. She would have understood.
There's a difference between knowing about the life and living it. Lucy wasn't wired for this life, and you know it.
What about the rest of us? You think we wouldn't have understood? You're a killer. Big fucking deal. You're an exterminator.
Your girlfriend doesn't quite see it that way.
Vivian's tough, but yeah, she can be a little Pollyannish sometimes. But come on. I get it.
This is different. You wouldn't understand.
I think I've earned the right to say fuck you, so fuck you. That's so much horseshit and you know it. Like you've got a monopoly on nasty shit.
Alex stands, grabs his keys.
Leave. Take your fucking emo pity party somewhere else. Get back on the road and run. It's what you're best at.
He leaves me alone with my thoughts and most of the tequila. So I drink out one to drown out the other.
Wakey, wakey! Ah.
Tabitha pulls the sheets off the bed. I flail upright, blinking. I have no idea what time it is. Everything hurts so much, I don't know where the hangover ends and the concussion begins.
Jesus fucking Christ, has everybody ever keyed to my room?
I said I was your girlfriend, and they gave me one at the desk.
Glad to hear security's such a high priority here.
I flashed some tit, too. I think that helped.
What are you doing here?
Dragging your ass out of your pity party.
I'm not having a pity party.
Tabitha picks up the empty bottle of tequila from the floor.
Señor Sousa here says otherwise. Come on, let's get you cleaned up before you throw up on the bed.
But that's so sexy.
The shower helped, but not much. A hot shower doesn't do much for the kind of beating I've taken. It's almost noon. I've put on a clean change of clothes, the last set in my bag. Everything else is in the caddy. I'm going to have to go shopping. I fucking hate shopping.
All right, I'm dressed.
The coffee's gone cold enough for me to chug down some without burning myself.
And now I'm caffeinated, so spill. Why don't you drag my ass out of bed instead of jumping into it with me?
You mean besides the fact that you smell like a three-day Tijuana bender? Alex has been trying to get hold of you. Asked me to bring you over to the club.
And he thought I'd show up?
I think he wasn't sure, so thought I'd be able to convince you. What happened? You two have a fight? Those look like fresh bruises.
Something like that.
I tell her about yesterday's fun at the warehouse. Her eyes go wide as I tell the story.
Jesus, is Vivian all right?
Yeah, just pissed off at me. The old guy's in the hospital.
I show her the goose egg on the back of my head.
That's where I got this. Got nailed last night with a sap.
Who? Who did it?
That Griffin guy who owns the warehouse. Guy's an asshole. Should have killed him years ago.
You knew him?
Met him once. Wasn't fun.
I tell her about Griffin, about Boudreaux, and I can't seem to stop. It all comes pouring out of me. About Lucy, the night 15 years ago, Santa Muerta. I tell her everything, short of the cabbie last night. That might be a bit much this early.
No wonder you're trying to kill yourself with cheap booze. It's, a lot to take in.
Look, I'm sorry. I'm not the best guy. Ask anybody. You really don't want to be around me. Sooner or later, I piss everybody off. Or get them killed.
That's not fair.
Sorry?
You don't get to make that decision.
No,
you don't. I get what you're saying, and maybe I even believe it. I know there's a lot I don't know about, but there's a lot you don't know either. You made bad choices. We all make bad choices sometimes, but you don't get to make mine for me.
Fair enough.
Look, you can't change what happened, but you can maybe move forward. So come with me and see Alex. I think you have some things to fix. I think I do too.
All right, let me get my stuff. I don't think I'll be coming back to this room again.
I pack up the one suitcase that wasn't lost when I left the caddy. Not much in there. Couple of shirts, some slacks, socks, and underwear. I pick up the bottle of Stoli from Darius's bar.
Were you mixing octanes last night?
Huh?
Vodka and tequila? Hello?
Oh, no, just an impromptu spirit bottle. Believe me, you wouldn't want to drink it. There's a ghost inside.
What? Really? What happens if you drink it?
It tastes nasty.
I'll take your word for it.
I toss the bottle into the suitcase. Tabitha rummages around in her purse, starts scanning the floor.
You see my cell phone anywhere?
No, you drop it?
Must have just left it in the car. Wanted to call Alex, tell him we're heading back.
I'm not sure why I'm going to see Alex when I should be finding my caddy and skipping town, but I got into the car with Tabitha anyway. We spend the ride in silence. Maybe she's right. Maybe I do have some things to fix. Or maybe I'd like a do-over. I look at her. She's thinking hard about something, though what, I can't tell. Me, maybe? Or is that just too much to hope for? The bar is almost empty. A far cry from the loud mash of people from the night before, with even fewer people than the day I first showed up. Max, the bouncer, glares at me as I walk in, but he waves me to the back. Tabitha starts to follow me, but he stands in front of her and transfers his glare to her. She looks at me surprised and, I don't know, a little scared? I shrug, try my best to look unconcerned, but I'm not sure what Alex is up to.
Don't worry about it. I'll be out in a minute.
Come in!
Alex is sitting at his desk like last time, but there's a tension in him that he didn't have last night. I slide into the chair in front of his desk.
Well, I'm here. What do you want?
You look a little hungover.
Only a little? Well, that's an improvement.
How was Tabitha when she picked you up? She seem off at all?
I don't really know what off looks like with her. Why?
Instead of answering me, Alex slides a cell phone in front of me. It's small and pink with rhinestones lining the back. It has a phone number ready to be called displayed on the screen.
The hell's this?
Call the number. I think it might be enlightening.
I pick up the phone. I don't know whose phone this is, but I can guess, and I don't like it.
The fuck is going on?
Just make the call.
Tabitha?
No shit.
Who is this?
Morning, Benny. I can call you Benny now, right? Or do we have to stick with Mr. Griffin?
Carter? How'd you get this number? How'd you get this phone?
Don't worry, I'll get it back to you later, along with your girlfriend.
I end the call and set the phone down on the desk.
I got suspicious, had Max snag her phone and did some checking.
I don't say anything for a long time. Keep thinking back to my conversation with her in the hotel. We all make bad choices.
Hey, you with me?
Huh? Yeah. Max stole her phone? Can't imagine he'd be all that sneaky.
You'd be surprised. Anyway, I think you know where this is going.
Yeah.
Alex punches a button on the intercom.
Yeah?
Send her in.
A minute later, the door opens, and Tabitha pokes her head in.
Hey, what's going on?
Found your phone. And I just talked to Griffin on it.
Oh.
You want to tell us what the hell is going on?
I didn't know all this was going to happen. I didn't even know the guy before a couple days ago.
Before I showed up here?
Yeah, day before. He told me you'd be coming here. He offered me $5,000 if I could tell him when you showed up, where you'd be staying, that sort of thing. I didn't know he was the one that did that to you, or that anything would happen at the warehouse. I didn't know any of that until this morning.
You told him we were there?
Vivian called yesterday morning when you guys were leaving. I told Alex, and then I called him.
You almost got him killed. You almost got Vivian killed.
I didn't know that would happen.
Can you give us a minute?
Okay.
Tabitha shrinks back from his glare. She stands against the door, not looking at me, not saying anything. I don't know what to say myself. We stay that way a good minute.
Are you gonna kill me?
What? No, God no, I'm not gonna kill you.
What are you gonna do?
It's been a long week, and you've been a bright spot in it. Thank you for that.
You're not mad?
I'm furious, but not at you. You didn't know who the hell I was. Guy shows up with 5K cash to tell him about somebody you've never met? No, I'm not mad at you. I'm pissed off at myself. For a lot of things.
I'm sorry. I had no idea this would happen.
I know. The other night, when you drove me back to the hotel...
I wanted to do that.
You need to raise your standards.
When I said I had some things to fix this morning, this was what I was talking about. I was gonna call Griffin and tell him it was off. Or, I don't know, lie to him, maybe. Tell him you'd left town.
I am leaving town.
Oh.
It's not a good idea for me to be here.
The fuck? What? It's my goddamn bar. I can listen at the door if I want. What do you mean you're leaving?
Look, I'm sorry I've been such an asshole. My being here isn't doing anybody any favors. Things have been going to shit ever since I got here.
What, that's it? You're just packing it in?
Boudreaux killed Lucy to get to me. Came pretty fucking close, too. I can't bring her back. I can't change a goddamn thing. So what the hell am I getting out of this? The fuck am I supposed to do?
Kill Boudreaux. For real this time. Jesus, Eric. Pull your head out of your ass. You think he's gonna stop just because you left town this time?
Got any brilliant insights on how? I've been getting my ass handed to me since I got back to town. I'm pretty fucking tired of it.
Can't win if you don't play.
Can't lose either. You know what happens if I leave? Griffin's screwed. He's hiding behind my ass hoping Boudreaux will come after me instead of him. Well, fuck him. Best thing I can do is leave.
No, you can't keep running. Not forever. I mean, I get it. If you have to go, go. But Alex is right. This isn't gonna stop just because you're not here.
Alex looks at his phone, glares at me, flips it open.
Hey. Okay. Yeah, he's right here. You want to talk to... Oh. Okay. I'll see if he wants to. Yeah, he's being kind of an asshole. See you in a bit.
I'll take a wild guess and say that's Vivian and Ellis has woken up.
Yes on one, no on two. He's still out. She's been there all night. Wants me to pick her up. Asked if you'd come along. Fine. At least say goodbye to her this time. Then hell, I'll drop you off at the fucking airport or something.
Okay.
Are you coming back?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
Tabitha steps over from the door, kisses me on the cheek.
I hope I see you again sometime.
Me too. Thanks. I mean, for the other night, not, you know...
Selling you out?
Yeah, that. You might want to make yourself scarce for a bit. I doubt Griffin's gonna try anything with you. There's no profit in it, but still...
I have his money, and I gave him what he wanted. I think I'll be fine.
I nod. She gets it better than most people would. She gives Alex an apologetic look and walks out. I turn to Alex. You gonna fire her?
No. She didn't know who you were. She didn't know anything about this. How about you?
I'm not her boss.
You know what I mean. What are you gonna do about her?
Nothing. She didn't do anything wrong. This is all Griffin.
You ready?
Yeah, but you're gonna have to drive. My car is stuck in the afterlife.
I manage to pull myself more or less together by the time we get to Harbor, UCLA. The headaches dull to a low throb. I'm still hungover. But not so hungover not to notice that shit is really, really wrong when we step into the hospital.
What?
Shh. I close my eyes, extend my senses.
There's nobody dead.
They're having a good day?
My kind of dead, smartass. There aren't any anywhere in or around the hospital. This place should be crawling with them.
The fuck would scare ghosts away?
Boudreaux. He's gotta be somewhere in the building, but I can't sense him. Where's Vivian?
Fourth floor, ICU.
We run to the elevators, get there as the lights go off. Emergency lighting kicks in, flickers, dies.
Stairs?
Alex sees them first, grabs my sleeve. Yanks me to the stairwell. Get to the fourth floor and my chest is in agony. I don't recommend running upstairs with fucked up ribs. We hit the door and step into chaos. The ICU looks like it's been hit with a tornado. Equipment is toppled, gurneys on their sides. Through the glass walls of the rooms, I can see doctors and nurses doing CPR on flatlining patients. An orderly runs by with a defibrillator. I yank Alex back into the stairwell. The orderly's thrashing around with pieces of plastic embedded in his face and chest, blood running into his scrubs. I push past him looking for Vivian.
Did she say what room?
Alex is leaning over the orderly looking like he doesn't know what to do. Pull out chunks of glass and plastic? Flood pressure? Where? I grab Alex and haul him up.
What room?
412, around the corner.
Room 412 is worse than the rest of the floor. The entire glass wall facing the hallway is gone. Pieces of tempered glass cover the floor like gravel. Somebody threw a nurse through it.
Vivian?
Here.
She slides into view next to me as she drops the spell hiding her.
What happened?
She doesn't have to answer.